folks, if you just hang around here long enough, we're going to have church. Kevin, thank you for playing the marimba for us. I now know what it is. That looks as hard to me as trying to eat soup with chopsticks. But anyway, that was good. Erin, I don't know where she is. She's been to both services. That was wonderful. Andrea, thank you so much. I tell you, Brother Lee, you're outdoing yourself here. Are you showing off? Showing off Jesus. And it looks like the crowd's getting better. I'm happy about that. Do y'all remember the days? Some of you will not remember this because you're too young, but folks that are, well, there's probably nobody as old as me here, but anyway, some of you who are over 50 or 60 may remember when we had revivals and you had packed the pew. Remember that? And you know, you would assign people certain pews, they'd fill up those pews, and they'd promise to give somebody a prize for the person that had the most people there on that particular night of the revival. They'd get a cassette tape, that shows you how long ago it was, or they'd get a book or something like that. And I'm told that there was a church in which they had a packed the pew service, and there was one pew where the folks were just jammed in there like sardines. I mean, you couldn't have got a business card between some of those people. And then there was one little boy who was wedged between two rather stout women. I mean, you could hardly see. And the evangelist got up to preach, and the evangelist said, "Now, I'm just going to tell you, if you don't get saved tonight, God is going to paralyze your kneecap." Well, this little boy reached down, pinched his kneecap. He couldn't feel a thing, and he thought, "My goodness, God has already paralyzed my kneecap." About halfway through the sermon, the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist repeated that. He said, "I'm telling you, if you don't get saved tonight, God is going to paralyze your knee." Now, it's not just the kneecap, it's the whole knee. So the little boy reached down, pinched his knee. It was completely numb. He couldn't feel a thing. And during the invitation, the evangelist reminded the people, "I'm telling you, if you don't get saved tonight, God is going to paralyze your leg." Now it's the whole leg. So the little boy reached down, pinches the fire out of his leg, couldn't feel a thing in this world. And he turned to the lady next to him and he said, "God has just paralyzed my leg." She said, "I don't know so much about that, kid, but if you don't quit pinching me, I'm going to paralyze your whole body." So we may be moving in that direction. We're going to have all the pews filled up. And if that's the case, just, you know, remember, be careful who you pinch in church, all right? Now, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I like variety, and we've had wonderful, wonderful variety in music every Sunday that I've been here. Now, this is my fifth Sunday, and I'm going to preach. Don't tell anybody this. Don't tell the folks at home. But I'm going to preach somebody else's sermon. I preached all the good sermons I've got, so I'm going to have to start preaching somebody else's sermon. Actually, years and years ago, I was listening to James Dobson on Focus on the Family, and he suspended his regular programming that day, and he broadcast a sermon by a black preacher by the name of E.K. Bailey. Well, Dr. Bailey was at that time pastor of the Concord Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. He preached a sermon on Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, on Zacchaeus. And it was one of the most fascinating sermons that I had ever heard. It was not an expository sermon. It was not a textual sermon. It was not a topical sermon. It was a narrative sermon. In other words, he just told a story about Zacchaeus. Now, I've heard some good sermons before, and I've kind of borrowed some of the thoughts from those sermons and tried to improve on them, but this is a sermon you can't improve on. In fact, I wish that I could preach it as good as Dr. Bailey did. He developed cancer over the years and passed away several years ago, but he was a great man of God and he was a great preacher. I wish I could preach the sermon like he did. I've had to change some of it so that I could just manage the sermon. But I think you'll get the idea, and I hope you'll be blessed by it. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 19, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 10, and the title of the message is The Testimony of a Tax Collector. Let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, it's just absolutely delightful, wonderful, supernal to be in this place today, to participate in the worship time, and now to be engaged in trying to understand your word. We pray that it will come alive. And we pray, dear Father, that we will receive the truth of your word in such a way that it will make us more devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And Father, if there's anyone listening today through live streaming, or if there's anyone here in this beautiful worship center who does not know Christ, we pray that this would be the day of salvation for them. I pray for your divine unction, for the filling of your Holy Spirit, that I might speak this message in the power of God. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Those of you who have been in church for many years probably remember from Sunday school and from Vacation Bible School, the story of Zacchaeus. It has been indelibly written upon your mind and upon your heart. You may also remember the little song about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Lord came passing by, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there. I'm going to your house today. And you know, I've always wondered why in the world Zacchaeus climbed that tree. I mean, you'll have to admit it's rather unusual for a well-educated, high-profile, wealthy businessman to be climbing trees and crawling out on limbs. I've just often wondered why Zacchaeus climbed that tree. I mean, why would he climb a tree and crawl out on a limb in broad daylight for everyone to see him? It just is rather unusual for a man of his stature. Why would he throw scorn, ridicule, shame, embarrassment to the wind and climb a tree for all to see it? It sort of makes you wonder. Now, in order to answer this question and other questions, I'm going to have to ask you to go with me on a journey. We're going to travel to the backside of the Roman Empire, to the sweltering, fly-infested land of Palestine. And I want you to track with me across this territory until we come to the fragrant filled city of Jericho, the home of this much despised tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus. I'm going to have to ask you to do something that you may not like. You're going to have to get up really early in the morning because Zacchaeus arises at the crack of dawn. And I want you to observe what he encounters as he endeavors to collect taxes from the Roman government. Well, he gets up at the crack of dawn and he looks at his eye calendar to see the names of the individuals and to see the addresses of those individuals that he is scheduled to see on this particular day. And as he walks, he looks. And as he walks, he also resolves that he's going to collect taxes for the government and he's going to do a good job. Now, it's not long until he arrives at the first house. It's a rundown little shanty in much need of painting and repairs. But those things don't matter to Zacchaeus. The only thing that he's concerned about is the word unpaid, stamped by the name of the person who lives in this residence. So he walks up on the porch and he knocks on the door. And with the eerie, creepy sound of an Alfred Hitchcock movie, the door swings open. And on the other side of the threshold, there is a frail man who appears to be blind. And the blind man asks, "Who's there?" And the response comes back, "I'm Zacchaeus. I'm the tax collector. And I've come to collect the taxes that you owe the Roman government." And the blind man begins to make excuses. He says, "Well, Mr. Zacchaeus, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to pay my taxes today. As you can see, I'm blind. I have no family. I receive no pension. There's no society here in Jericho to assist the blind. I have no means of earning a living. And I'm not able to pay my taxes, Mr. Zacchaeus. I'm sorry. But if you would just give me a 30-day extension, somehow, some way, I'll find out how to pay my taxes." Zacchaeus says, "Well, I'm not generally given to benevolence. I'm not known for my spirit of charity. But seeing as you're blind, I'm going to make an exception in your case. But when I get back in 30 days, if you don't show me the money, not only will you be blind, but you'll be homeless as well." And so Zacchaeus walks away and he turns back and he says, "Remember, 30 days and I'll be back." Zacchaeus looks at his eye calendar and he sees the address of the next home that he's to visit that day. And it's not long until he arrives at that location. He walks up on the steps and across the porch and he knocks on the door. And all of a sudden, he notices a terrible problem. Because the woman who answers the door looks like she is yellow from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, as if all the blood has been drained out of her body. Her hair is matted. Her face is stained with tears. Her speech is slurred. But through it all, she says, "Mr. Zacchaeus, I know who you are. And I know why you've come. But I've got to tell you, I'm not prepared to pay my taxes today. You see, Mr. Zacchaeus, for 12 long years, I've had this blood disorder. My inheritance is gone. My insurance has been canceled. My husband has left me. I struggle from day to day just to keep body and soul alive. I don't have any money. I can't pay my taxes. But Mr. Zacchaeus, I don't want your pity. But if you would just give me 30 days, I'll try to have my money to pay my taxes. Zacchaeus says, well, I don't usually do that, but I've already given your blind neighbor down the street 30 days, so I guess I can make another exception. But when I come back in 30 days, you'd better show me the money and pay your taxes. So with that strong admonition, he turns to leave to go to the third house. He walks down this long, dusty road. He comes to a bend in the road where he sees the third house in the distance. He walks down the road and he sees this woman standing in the front yard. It looks like she's just staring off into infinity, almost as if she's in some kind of a comatose condition. And the closer he gets to her, the more oblivious she seems to be aware of his presence. It's not long until they're standing just face to face like this, and Zacchaeus is about ready to speak when he hears this blood-curdling sound coming from behind him, and he twirls to see if he can determine the source of the blood-curdling scream. And there he sees a man running in the nude through the tombstones of the cemetery on the hillside. If seen in the silhouette, it looks like a cross between a man and a wild animal. Then the woman speaks up and says, what you see there used to be my husband. And I come here every day hoping against hope that he'll come home. I pray for his return. I don't know if it'll ever happen. In fact, my friends tell me that I ought to get on with my life, but I love him. He's the father of my children. But Mr. Zacchaeus, they say no man can tame him. No man can bind him. I hope he'll come home, but I don't know. He calls himself Legion because he's possessed of so many demons. Zacchaeus, not willing to be dialoguing with demon, begins to backpedal. He says, look, I'll see you in 30 days. When I come back, I want my taxes. He looks in his eye calendar again. He sees the fourth house that he's to visit that day. It takes him a while to get there because the third house was sort of in the countryside. The fourth house is in town. He walks down one street, turns the corner, and there he sees the house in the distance. It has a spray of flowers on the front door, which typically signifies that someone in the home has died. He walks up on the steps and knocks at the door. And all of a sudden, this grieving widow, veiled and dressed in black, answers the door. She says, Mr. Zacchaeus, I knew you were coming today. And the truth is that I'd saved money to pay your taxes. But Mr. Zacchaeus, my only son died last night. And the money that I had saved to pay the taxes, I'm having to use to pay for the funeral. And I can't pay my taxes today. I hope you'll understand. Zacchaeus says, well, I can't say that I like it, but I've already given three others a 30-day extension today, and I guess I can do the same for you. I'm sorry that your boy died, but I'll be back in 30 days, and I'll expect you to pay your taxes then. Having said that, Zacchaeus turns toward home, and he begins to think, this is a terrible day. I've had no success whatsoever in collecting taxes, but I'll see these people again in a month. The 30 days pass quickly, and when the 30 days are up, Zacchaeus gets up at the crack of dawn, which is his custom. He looks at his calendar, and he sees that this is the day when he is to return to those same four homes that represent his most unproductive day in his career as a tax collector. But he squares his shoulders and says, I'm going to do my duty today. These people are going to pay up, or they're going to surrender their property, or they're going to go to prison. I'm going to do my job today, and no sad sob story is going to discourage me from collecting taxes for the government. So he sets off to the first house. He's there in just a few minutes, and he realizes that a dramatic change has taken place at the exterior of the house. It's undergone renovation. It's been painted a beautiful color. The lawn has been manicured. He knocks on the door. The door is open, and there stands a man with piercing eyes and authority in his voice. And Zacchaeus says, "I'm looking for the man of the house." And the man says, "Well, I'm the man of this house." Zacchaeus said, No. I was here 30 days ago, and the man who said he was the master of this house, he was blind." The man said, "Well, Zacchaeus, I'm that man. And you're right, 30 days ago, I was blind." But he said, "Mr. Zacchaeus, somebody told me that Jesus had come to town. And I made my way with all of my strength and effort to get downtown. It's not easy for a blind man. But I finally got there. And I found me a seat by the side of the road. And I just sat down. And I waited. It was not long until I heard a commotion in the distance. And I said, 'What's happening?' And someone said, 'Jesus is passing by.' And I said, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Well, the mayor and the city council told me to be quiet. They said, 'You are an embarrassment to our people. You're a nuisance. You're disturbing our community. You've got to be quiet.' But he said, 'I knew it might be my only chance as I'd said, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' And they pushed me on into the background, trying to get me to be quiet. But I said it one more time, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' And he stopped. And he came to where I was, 'Zacchaeus, come into my house and sit down. Let me tell you my story.' Zacchaeus went in and sat down, and he said, 'It's like this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see.' Zacchaeus turned and went away, thinking to himself, 'My, what a day. A blind man who can see.' He looked at his eye calendar, went to the next home, knocked on the door. This beautiful woman, radiant with joy, came to the door. She had color in her cheeks. She had a new hairdo. Her nails had been freshly manicured. She had light in her eyes, a spring in her step, joy in her voice. She said, 'Mr. Zacchaeus, I knew you were coming back today.' He said, 'Wait a minute.' He said, 'I'm looking for the lady of the house.' She said, 'I'm the lady of the house.' He said, No. He said, 'The woman that was the lady of this house, she was sick. She looked like she was jaundiced. She was in bad shape when I was here a month ago.' She said, 'Mr. Zacchaeus, I need to tell you what happened to me.' She said, 'Somebody told me that Jesus had come to town. And I made my way uptown to where Jesus was. And she said, when I got there was a great press of people there. I couldn't get close to Jesus, but I began to elbow my way through the crowd. I mustered all the strength that I could possibly muster. And I got within a few yards of him, and I stretched myself out to my fullest extent, and I was able to touch the hem of his garment. And when I did, that flow of blood that had been flowing for 12 years suddenly dried up. And I knew I was healed. But Zacchaeus, I knew that I was even healed at a deeper level. I knew that my soul had been set free. And I knew there's some superstition about just reaching out and touching the hem of his garment and all that. But where my faith was inadequate, he made it sufficient and he healed me body and soul. Mr. Zacchaeus, I hadn't been having to go to those quack doctors this last month. I hadn't been having to go buy prescriptions at the drugstore. I've been able to save a little bit of money. And here, like my old blind friend down the street, Zacchaeus said, wait a minute, he's not blind anymore. She said, yeah, I know he's not blind. Did you not know he sold his C&I dog to get the money to pay your taxes? She said, but like my old ex-blind friend down the street, here's the money for your taxes. Zacchaeus shook his head. She said, you want to hear the rest of the story? He said, I do. She said, come on in, sit down. She said, it's like this. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. Zacchaeus walked away from that home. He said, this is amazing. A blind man who can see. A dying woman who's full of life. He looked in his eye calendar to see the next home that he was to visit. And he walked down that long, dusty road and he saw the house and the bend of the road and he had fully expected to see the woman out in the yard that he had seen 30 days earlier, but she was not there. So he walked across the lawn and he walked up to the house and he knocked on the door and this woman answered the door. She had a smile on her face. She had on a new dress. The first thing that came into the mind of Zacchaeus was, well, it's about time she kicked that old grave dweller to the curb. It's about time she got her a new man. And then this handsome young man stepped out from behind her. And she said, Mr. Zacchaeus, I want you to meet my husband. When you were here 30 days ago, he wasn't here. He was in the cemetery. But he came home. Doesn't he look good? He's clothed and in his right mind. Zacchaeus just stood there in amazement. And she said, Mr. Zacchaeus, when you were here 30 days ago, I told you that no man could tame him. I told you that no man could bind him. But that's before Jesus got off the boat. When Jesus walked in, the demons walked out. And Jesus has made a new man out of my husband. Mr. Zacchaeus, if you ever want to be a new man, you need to meet Jesus. He can give you a new relationship to your family. He can give you a new relationship to yourself. He can give you a new relationship to God. My husband met Jesus and changed his life. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Mr. Zacchaeus, if you ever want to have a new life, if you want things to be different in your life, you need to meet Jesus. About that time, the man spoke up and he said, honey, I'm glad to hear you tell your side of the story, but you didn't experience it like I did, and I want to tell my side of the story. She said, go ahead, honey, you tell your story. And the man said, Mr. Zacchaeus, 2 months ago, my mind was aflame. I was depressed. I was obsessed. I was possessed. I was at wit's end corner. I was at the end of my tether. I was suicidal. I was cutting myself with stones. I wished I were dead. But then I met Jesus. And it's kind of like this. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Zacchaeus was astounded. He walked away. And as he walked away, he said, this is a most unusual day. I've seen a blind man who now has received his sight. I've seen a dying woman who has new life. And now I've seen a demon-possessed man who's been delivered. I hope I can meet Jesus someday. Like that blind man, I've been living in darkness. Like that poor woman, I've had some pains and troubles. I've had some difficult experiences. Like the man in the cemetery, I have been depressed and I have been hounded by the devil. Maybe if I meet Jesus, he could do something about my condition. He looked in his day timer and he saw the last house that he was to visit. He went to the house and he knocked on the door. And the most handsome 16-year-old boy you ever saw came to the door. He said, Mr. Zacchaeus, my mama's been looking for you all day. She said you'd be back in 30 days and that you're never late collecting taxes. We've been looking for you all day. Zacchaeus said, I'm sorry, son. I've got the wrong house. The house that I'm looking for has no sons. Because when I was here 30 days ago, the woman of the house was going to bury her only child, her only son. So this has got to be the wrong house. And the young man said, no, Mr. Zacchaeus, this is the right house. And you're right. I died. My mother's worst fear became a reality 30 days ago. She feared that the disease that took my father and my older brother would come back and take me. And I got real sick, Mr. Zach. My mother prayed for me. She stayed up with me all day and all night. I could hear her praying, but somehow God chose not to answer her prayers, and I died. And the money that my mother had saved to pay the taxes, she had to pay my funeral. We went to the temple, and that's where the service was held. And after the service at the funeral, there was a funeral procession headed out of the city. And as the procession headed out of the city, there was Jesus and his disciples coming into the city. And as I've told you before, the procession of death encountered the procession of deity. And you know that deity and death cannot occupy the same space. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and touched the coffin. And I sat up in the coffin, and it so frightened the undertaker that he pushed me on out of the coffin. He took his coffin back, gave my mother her money back, and here, Mr. Zacchaeus, is the money for your taxes. About that time, the boy's mother came and said, Mr. Zacchaeus, I understand that my son has just told you his story, but you need to hear the story from the heart of a mother. You come in and sit down. I want to tell you how all this affected me. And so Zacchaeus went in and sat down. And the woman said, it's like this. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Zacchaeus closed his book. said, I'm going home. As he was going home, he met a friend, and the friend said, hey, Zach, have you heard what's been going on around here? Zacchaeus said, I've heard all I can handle. I've heard enough for one day. And the friend said, well, Mr. Zacchaeus, if you ever want to see Jesus, you'd better go uptown and see him now because he may not pass this way again. The next thing that we hear is the pitter-patter of the feet of Zacchaeus as he makes his way to town. And as he goes to town, his life flashes before his eyes. He begins to realize that his life has been nothing but a successful failure. He's been an oxymoron of prosperity and poverty, a paradox of success and failure. And as he begins to review his life, he realizes that life is not in the abundance of the things that you possess. He says, I may look like every man's dream, but what they may not know is that sometimes when you get to the top of the ladder, you find that it's leaning against the wrong building. If I met Jesus, maybe he could do something about my condition. And he said, I've had another problem. I've been a short man in a tall world. And I've often thought it was the shortness of my stature that was the reason for my failures. But I'm beginning to realize that it's not the shortness of my stature, it's the shortage of my relationship to God. It's the shortage of my relationship to God that has caused me to be cold and calloused and uncaring and without compassion. Maybe if I met Jesus, he could help me to understand who I really am and who I need to be. He makes his way to the main street in Jericho, and that's when he saw the large crowd of people. He knew that he'd never be able to see over the heads of the people that were much taller than he was, and so he looked down the street, and that's when he saw the sycamore tree. And I've often wondered what made him climb that tree. It was not the shortness of his stature. It was the shortage of his relationship to God. Jesus came by, and as the song says, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there. I'm going to your house today. And that day, Zacchaeus slid down that tree and decided that for the rest of his life, he was going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And he thought to himself, you know, I've got to take Jesus home with me. Because if Jesus doesn't go home with you, he doesn't go at all. Because what you are is what you are at home. And if your religion doesn't change your life at home, it hasn't changed you at all. He said, I've got to take Jesus home with me. And I know that he's no respecter of person. What he's done for others, he can do for me. And he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. I can see them walking in the sunset toward the home of Zacchaeus. And I think maybe I hear Zacchaeus say, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Would you bow with me in prayer? In this message, we see that Jesus was the answer for man's darkness. He restored a man's sight. Jesus was the answer for man's disease. He healed a woman who was desperately ill. Jesus is the answer to man's depression. He cast the demons out of a beleaguered man. And Jesus is even the answer in our death, because he brought back to life that young lad. I don't know what your spiritual condition is. Maybe you're living in darkness. Maybe you're living with disease. Maybe you're living with depression. Maybe you're living in fear of death because you've not yet trusted in Jesus Christ. I've tried to present to you that Jesus Christ is the all-sufficient Savior. The Bible says that if He is lifted up, He'll draw all men to Himself. If you're not a believer, those of you in this beautiful auditorium, and those of you who are watching through live stream, if you're not a believer, you can become a Christian today. You can become a believer. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We call upon Him in prayer. And if you're not sure of your salvation, or if you know you're not saved, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Pray it silently, but please, please pray it sincerely. Dear God, pray it with me. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. I recognize that I need to be forgiven. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that You died on the cross for me. And I know that if I believe on You and commit my life to You, You will forgive me for my sins. And no longer will I have to carry around the gray ghost of guilt. So I pray that You'd save me and save me now. Help me to live the life that You created me to live. And I pray that You'd take me home with You one day to live with You forever in heaven. You prayed that prayer, God bless you. I want you to tell somebody that you prayed that prayer before you leave this place today. Or if you're at home and you've prayed that prayer, tell others who are with you. Father, help us to take the name of Jesus with us because He is worthy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.